WGNSRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic. And for the next, who knows how many minutes, we're going to talk about Notre Dame football and the signing day that just occurred. Obviously, we've been on break for a little while here, Ed, and as much deserved, being Irish fans, that after a season like that, it takes about a good 2 months before you can begin to think, you know what, I think I actually might step outside today and see if, in fact, you know, the world's spinning, the sun is shining, and things are looking up. But, you know, for me, I think that really today marks the beginning of the Brian Kelly era. And the reason I say that is because I think this is nothing more than an opportunity for everybody to show hype and, you know, really for the pundits to sell the hype. And the fact of the matter is it doesn't mean anything near as much as the real polls mean when you're ranking teams. But for some reason, these guys like to just jump ship and make this sound like this is the dictates for the next football season. Do you pretty much agree?
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh yeah. I mean, it's become, you know, it's become a little bit of a circus. And thank God, especially when your team is, you know, underachieves for a decade like ours. I mean, you know, we look forward to the first week in February because we know we're not going to be doing anything the first week in January.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a little like crack. I mean, you know, you get these videos, these kids now, and it becomes like a little bit of a, you know, like a competition and it's really something to look forward to. I mean, it's gotten a little bit of little out of hand, but I mean, I saw a couple interviews with Brian Kelly today, and I mean, he said what you and I said at this time, you know, at the beginning of the season. And that's basically like, okay, you know, we kind of got through this, we kind of held together, but we got to win football games. I mean,
right.
You know,
and that's
success on the field is the number one determining factor in success on National Signing Day.
Right.
And we know that, you know, we knew that last year. I actually think that it is almost staggeringly incredible how well the last two, possibly three recruiting classes have turned out, considering this has been a basically sub 500 football program now for the last, you know, 3 years. And I think we should, as Notre Dame fans, we should be just, you know, grateful that we have the raw material, that Brian Kelly has the raw material to work with and hopefully get this thing headed into the right direction.
Yeah, I think that that's the one thing that everybody did realize is that, hey, look, in this situation, this is totally unlike when Charlie Weiss walked in the door. I mean, the cupboard was bare, and it was going to be bare for a couple of years. Well, that's not the case. Maybe it's not 100% full, but really in the last 20 years, you probably couldn't have picked a better time to come to Notre Dame if you're a head football coach trying to make a name for yourself. So, you know, from that standpoint, Brian Kelly has that in front of him, at least something to work with. You know, it was interesting because today I was driving back, you know, from dropping the kids off of school, thinking about signing day and everything. And the one thing, the thought that crossed my mind was, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a football team that, you know, maybe we don't win the national championship next year, but you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see that the guys that we do have play hard and they get after it and they make it happen and we fight like hell and we might lose a couple games here and there. But the reality of the matter is kind of like basically the 1986 season of Lou Holtz. You know, we get out there and we put pressure on people and people come in and feel relieved when they leave the stadium. So that hasn't really happened in a long time. Now, granted, we had some good, you know, attempts against USC in the Weiss area, both in the very first season and then just this last one. But, and I do think that, you know, last season that Weiss did some things right because we did fight towards the end in the fourth quarter and won a bunch of ball games. But in between there, we obviously didn't. But, you know, from that standpoint, the Brian Kelly era begins today because he's going to have his own brand of players. And it's all about what do you do with what you got? Do you get the most out of your players or don't you? And if you do, that's going to build momentum on itself. And year after year, you're going to get better and better players coming here. And then, you know, we'll ultimately see where we land.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's about leadership. I think probably, you know, Brian Kelly is going to wake up tomorrow morning, and maybe for the first time, you know, since he took the job, feel like he could really start doing, what he does best. Because, you know, when you take over a program, whether, you know, any of these coaches and these different transitions, I mean, you are just kind of like, it's a fire drill until signing day. Obviously you want to take care of the guys that are already on campus and let them know you're thinking about them and get them started on a winter program. But you're trying to build relationships with all of these kids that have already committed who are now wondering if they're still wanted, if they're still in limbo. Obviously it's Notre Dame. So Charlie was going after, you know, 4-star kids and, you know, some 5-star kids. They have a lot of other people interested in them too. So it's not like they don't have options. You know, so right away you've got this situation where you're trying to keep those guys happy. And then you're trying to figure out, is there anybody out there at all that I could make a run at that would fit my brand of football, that fit my system? And I think one of the, you know, the things that obviously Brian Kelly did when he took this job was he looked around and he saw, you know, a one scholarship quarterback, you know, on the roster that also had just had knee surgery. And said, some way or another, you know, we got to get guys in here who can play that position because that makes my whole thing run. And, you know, at Cincinnati, he had, what, 4 or 5 guys, and he was able to find some, get incredible production out of, you know, I don't know if this is true. You keep hearing that Tony Pike was his 5th-string quarterback, and obviously the kid that stepped in for him, Galagos, or I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, was incredibly productive. So, you know, that would lead you to believe that they've got a true freshman who's a midterm enrollee, Tommy Reese, who's, you know, will have a little bit of an edge. And then he's got, you know, 2 or 3 other freshmen who will compete for the position and Chris and Nate Montana. And he's just going to throw them all out there. And it's just going to be, okay, who can produce? Because no matter what, we are going to have, you know, provided Dane Chris is fine and we think he'll obviously be the starting quarterback, but the backup will be a true freshman. I mean, that is just the situation that we're in, no matter what. You know, unless he moves John Goodman and who demonstrates that he's, you know, our best, you know, second string quarterback or something unforeseen happening like that. So I think that was his first priority was to get numbers, to get bodies that he felt comfortable with at that position. And then after that, just try and keep what he had. And, I think the biggest, you know, thing today was, a little bit of a, you know, it would have been a, I think pretty much a little bit of a tough blow if we wouldn't have won the battle for Matt James, this big tackle. That was really the last guy that was of note that we had a chance for, a real true chance for head to head with Ohio State. And he picked us. And I think that's a pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good omen that given a little bit of time, because obviously this kid was also recruited heavily by Cincinnati. He knew Brian Kelly. That given some time, that Brian Kelly can make the sale at the end. Because recruiting is definitely a 2.5 year process now. You know, you start hitting on these kids basically and courting them and building these relationships. And, I mean, it's this crazy situation in college football now where you have to take care of these kids for a long time and then, you overlay that with the fact that there's always change in college football and these assistants, you know, end up moving around and a program, you know, guys leave and all this. So it's just this really crazy kind of thing where you're just taking care of these kids for a year and a half. And then all of a sudden there's change at the end and it throws a bunch of stuff into the air. And we saw that today with a bunch of, you know, kids who had, you know, who were committed completely, you know, different schools, different programs, different situations a month ago. You know, and they ended up kind of spread all over the country today. So
yeah, no, there's I agree. There's definitely that. The other thing is, I think that people need to understand that this is kind of, I mean, what it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Brian Kelly's walking into a situation as every new coach faces, which is, all right, I've been assigned to this job. I now am dealing with the cards that are dealt with me. However, now that I'm running the show, I'm going to do it my way. And that comes down to the kind of players that you recruit. And I do think that you can't underestimate the type of coach that you are and the type of attitude you're looking for and the type of kid that you're looking for. And certainly, you know, that there's – you can't put a whole heck of a lot into the situation of the kids that we got right now today in relation to Brian Kelly. I mean, we are way down the path of who's coming and who isn't coming, and there was really very little Brian Kelly could do about that except for kids that he previously recruited and, you know, guys that he knew about that he could go after at the last second. And,
right,
you know, there obviously isn't going to be a lot that he can do about that. There weren't going to be major shakeups where guys all of a sudden jump ship to Notre Dame for some reason at the last second. So, you know, I think that for the most part, he held course, held the guys that he needed to held. As you said, he did land that tackle, which we did need. And certainly he grabbed a couple guys that might raise some eyebrows, guys that weren't even going to get a Division I scholarship that all of a sudden got one. And, it would be kind of neat to see if those guys turn into something. But the fact of the matter is that ultimately what we're really going to find out is, all right, you know, what do you do with the class that you got? You know, if you pay attention to ESPN and you read all those pundits about rankings and everything, effectively we're basically outside of the top 20. Mm-hmm. You know, they got us at 21. But I'd argue, you know what? I don't care if realistically, I think for Notre Dame, you should expect Notre Dame to be top 15 year in and year out. And I think that really again, with as much hype as put into this, you know, it doesn't really matter what you have in the way of recruiting classes when it comes to rankings. You don't need to be 1, 2, or 3 and only those guys win national championships. That's not the way it works. The reality of the matter is it's up to Brian Kelly now to get players on the field and getting them to compete. And I will take any kid any day that shows the passion to play for Notre Dame and to play hard and to go out on the field and represent it that way. And that's going to turn into victories. I mean, and it's all about a team sport, and you cannot put way too much into this whole idea that, you know what, if you don't recruit in the top 5, you're not going to win a national championship.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with that. Although I will say that, I mean, he obviously has a plan. The most important thing to him, obviously, was getting a staff in place that he was 100% comfortable with, you know, men that he was ready to go to war with every day, his assistants that he, from all accounts, puts an awful lot of pressure on, that he demands an awful lot of. And that took a little bit of time. But I think that he, you know, I take him at his word that he, you know, really wanted to get that right. And that took precedent over, recruiting for this, you know, for this year, of course, because he had to do that. And he had to, you know, because that's a long-term decision. You're trying to find the best coaches. You're trying to find guys who have connections to certain areas of the country recruiting-wise. You're trying to find, guys who understand what you're trying to accomplish philosophically on offense and defense and special teams and, you know, all those types of things. So he did that. Second thing was hold this class together. And the only thing that I disagree with you a little bit with is, yeah, he needs to find the right kind of guys. But, I mean, and that's, you know, that they want to play football and stuff. He's got to win on the field, because I think the next step is finding the right kind of guys who are also at least, you know, a half dozen a year that are also elite athletes. Because the difference in my mind when I've watched college football the last 10 years is, you know, there is a real difference between, you know, even the best coach teams, you know, the best put together teams, and then what makes a team a great team, a national championship team, is that it's well coached, it's a team concept. It's the right kind of players in terms of their willingness to work and their willingness to buy in. But they're also, they really are a collection of 4 and 5 star caliber athletes with speed, with, you know, football skills, that are just a cut above. I mean, you saw that with, you know, with Alabama this year. I mean, those kids obviously bought in, You know, but those are guys that are, especially on defense, that are just at a different level athletically than a lot of their competition. And, you know, you see that with Florida, you know, the last several years. And you saw that with USC, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There is a whole, you know, you saw it in the Florida Cincinnati bowl game. I mean, there's just a different level of athleticism.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with what you're saying. I guess the two points to make there, just, and maybe this will end up, you know, coinciding with your thoughts. But, one, I would say the elite players, yeah, you do need them. You do need that elite guy on offense, the game breaker, and then you need the guy on defense as well. And you have to have that, and I agree that we have not really had that. I think that we do right now. I think Floyd, I thought Tate was that way. We do have some guys on the offensive side of the ball that can be that game breaker for us. Ideally, you want somebody at the running back position that's way. But I think that what's evident, at least to me in the last 5 years, is where we lack it is specifically the defensive line. I mean, you look at Alabama, you look at these guys, they put pressure on the quarterback with four guys rushing. Sometimes, remarkably, they'll even do it with three guys rushing. Yeah. And that's what we just absolutely do not have. And it's a huge problem when you cannot get pressure on the quarterback with four guys rushing the ball, where you have to, in defense of John Tenuta, have to send more than four in order to make things happen. And the whole problem with that is that when you can't get any penetration with four guys, I mean, you're playing, you know, you're putting yourself in a situation where you're not making enough things happen, and you're bound to give up a big play. And yep. You know what? The reality of the matter is, it's almost like you even look at them. I mean, I don't know about you, but I watched the national championship game. I'm looking at those guys and I'm like, holy cow. We don't have guys that even look like that on the defensive line. I mean, those guys were big, athletic guys. And, you know, that's it's going to be interesting to see if some of that changes over the next couple of years, because I really think that that's where we're missing it is there. You know, if we could get some defensive line in there.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, Mike, I don't even know what to think about our defense anymore. Like, you know, like, I mean, it seemed like this year I saw some flashes of, you know, athleticism. You know, I saw some plays made behind the line of scrimmage. But, you know, so you kind of thought for a second, like, maybe we've got some of the personnel. It's improving a little bit. But then you would see, you know, and then you would see, I mean, I just thought that the secondary was just, you know, such a disappointment. Just like, it seemed like it just took a step back. It'll be interesting, you know, to see, what the Patriots defensive backfield looks like the next several years with Corwin Brown coaching them. The D-backs just, you know, I mean, and then on, you know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, we never got a clean shot at a quarterback. I mean, it seems like every time we ran a blitz, we would go looking for somebody to block us. I mean, you know, and we talked about that a lot. So the defense has just got to be a clean slate. It's going to be very interesting to me, because I'm just really curious. Because I really thought that personnel-wise, you know, we were in better shape this year than we were, you know, the year before. We've got, you know, Ethan Johnson, Williams, Fleming, Manti, you know, Darren Walls. You know, there are some guys that, at least on paper, and certainly if you look back at the recruiting rankings, you know, come to us with a fair amount of ability. And it'll be real interesting to see how a new staff kind of it can put, if they can put them in a position to succeed and get the most out of them. Like you said, great point at the beginning, you know, the thing that we're all looking for in terms of Brian Kelly and his leadership is getting more out of the guys that we have.
We'll
know pretty quick.
You know, to the defense of the defensive backs, I mean, clearly, think of it this way. If you're Darren Walls playing defensive back for us, where there's barely any defensive rush, versus playing for Florida, where you got a ton of it, I do think that clearly is to your advantage. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So, part of that whole defensive scheme is going to be about putting pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, for Brian Kelly, that means he needs to get guys in there. And unfortunately, with the way we turned out with the recruiting process the last 2 years, we don't really have that just yet. And it's probably the biggest hole that he's going to have to fish. And, you know, that's the way it is, but we'll see. I mean, he's going to come on board. I don't think Brian is sitting there thinking that he's okay in that situation. I'm sure he's clearly aware of this. And you got to believe that those guys are going to head in the direction of trying to right that ship. So,
right. And we also know that interior line play, I mean, that's the hardest place, I think you'd agree with me, you know, to get on the field as a freshman. I mean,
oh,
you know, whether it's the offensive line or the defensive line, I mean, you know, just physical development, you know, that it's just the rare cat that can have an impact or that can see the field. I mean, you know, Ethan Johnson's an example, you know, of a guy who, you know, who played right away, but that was more out of necessity, you know, than anything else. We just didn't have any bodies there, and he was the biggest, probably most talented, one of the most talented guys we had as a freshman. You know, and he's rounding into a pretty good player, and you know, that's the thing that's going to be. So it'll be interesting if, you know, like,
You know,
there's bodies. I mean,
Let me make a quick point here because, you know, as, for the listeners here who I think I've mentioned before in the past, but if you aren't realizing it or don't know, I moved down to Florida. I'm no longer in South Bend. So as of August, but I went to a game where there was a Florida recruit. Okay. And showing up at the game, I didn't know anything other than, hey, there's a Florida recruit who's going to play defensive end for Florida is in this game. So I show up at this high school football game. My son's playing in, and the recruit that I'm watching is 6'5", 220 pounds. And I'm thinking, all right, they're obviously going to put a lot of weight on this kid who's going to play defensive end. But the most amazing thing was he was playing tailback. He was 6'5", 220, playing tailback, running the football for a team that was not very good. And yet Florida had picked this kid up and have already projected him at defensive end. Now, obviously, what's so obvious is at 6'5", 220, you're not going to compete a tailback with all the other guys that are out there that are a lot faster than you and a lot quicker and a lot shiftier. But you know what? You're an amazing athlete who can play tailback in high school, and at defensive end, you're going to cause some havoc. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, looking at this kid, I thought to myself, holy cow, man, if they put 40 pounds on this kid, he's going to be a wrecking machine. I mean, it totally made sense to me after watching it. But in any event, you know, I think that that's kind of the mode that where the game has evolved and where things are headed. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be up to Brian Kelly to figure all that stuff out. I mean, we're about to find all that kind of stuff out, and hopefully that all bode well. But, you know, the reality of the matter is, all that stuff is going to come to light. And one thing Brian Kelly is going to find out real quick is there's not a lot of hiding places at Notre Dame. At Cincinnati, you might be able to make a few mistakes that don't ever garner national attention. Sorry, pal, but that no longer is the case. So, yeah.
I think he's embraced that. I mean, that's the positive thing is, you know, it seems that he's embraced that he's got a staff that really wants that challenge. And that's, you know, half the battle. I mean, I never was quite sure if Davey embraced that. Wasn't quite sure if Ty really got that. And, you know, I think Charlie got that. Unfortunately, you know, they just weren't up to it. So, you know, so we'll see. I think, you know, as we said several times, I mean, you know, we've got the best fit. And now let's see if he can make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it all begins today moving forward. And, you know, now that everything is set and he's got his class, it's all about football and it's all about the game and it's all about everything related to that. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier in my mind, I think the Brian Kelly era begins today. And, hopefully that'll bode well for us. You and I will have a much more enjoyable time doing Dome and Domer next year, assuming that we can manage it. For that standpoint, we'll cut it off here. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening. And we promise to come back on very shortly here to talk about Notre Dame basketball. I mean, luckily we didn't broach that topic tonight, but certainly that'll be a definitely lively discussion for the two of us, I'm sure. but we'll unfortunately we're going too long as it is, and we'll have to cut into it then. But you know, hopefully you and I can find some time next week and we'll broach that subject as we'll title that show, The Dilemma of Mike Gray.
Sounds good.
There's good and bad, and we'll just have to bang that one out, that's for sure. But we'll save that for next time. So in any event, stay tuned. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.